What's up? We're That's Disturbing, back for our second episode. I'm Daphne.
And I'm Gail.
And today's episode is really hard and really heavy. This is going to be our first true crime case. And we just want to address it in the fact that in this one and in later true crime cases that we're going to cover, we are going to be using the victim's first name, because I know in a lot of true crime reports, they typically refer to the victim by their last name, but we're not going to do that here. We're going to use their first name to give them their power back. And obviously the information that we have on the victim is limited, and we do just want to say that up front and in the beginning, because their story has ended, right? And so we don't have all the information that there should be out there on them, because unfortunately they're a victim in a situation and their story has ended. And the rest of the people that we have the information on, we're going to be referring to them by their last names. And also, this is a Japanese translated case, so there's definitely going to be a lot of name butchering happening in here. And it's, yeah, again, it's real heavy, guys, and it's really hard to discuss this case. So let's just jump right into it.
Okay, we also want to let everybody know that there's a lot of conflicting reports about this case. So we did a ton of research trying to find the most factual information and look for the reports and the information that you could see in several different places, because I also want to make everyone aware of the fact that this case, as Daphne said, is translated from Japanese into English, and so there's a lot of conflicting reports. We did a ton of research trying to find the most fluid information, the most information that was in several different places, so that we could corroborate the information that we're given. Because, as I said, there's a lot of conflicting information, and we want to give the best truth of this story and give this victim her voice. So anyway, I'm going to jump right in, as Daphne said. The victim's name was Junko Furuta, and she was 17 years old at the time she was abducted. She was born January 18th, 1971, in Masato, Saitama, Japan. This is the butchering part. I apologize. Her father is Akira Furuta. And we could not find her mom's name. And according to most sources, she was a middle child with an older brother and a younger brother. But again, couldn't find their names. And some things said that she was an only child, but really I only read that in two places. The most information I had said that she was a middle child. And she was a girl who was popular, and she was pretty, and she did well in school. And she was, you know, basically like a good girl. She didn't smoke, she didn't do drugs, she didn't drink. And, of course, this would make you unpopular in some crowds, but she was, like, focused. She wanted to get, you know, she was trying to be a grown-up and do what's best for herself, for her future kind of thing, because here she is, 17 years old, getting ready to graduate from high school, just doing the right thing. So she had a part-time job at a plastic molding factory after school to pay for a post-graduation trip. She had already accepted a job at an electronics retailer that would begin after she graduated. And, like, also a teenage girl, so we'd have to remember she is a teenage girl, even though she's super responsible and trying to adult. She dreamt about being an idol. And an idol in Japan is a type of entertainer. Most of the time they're singers, and they're marketed for their looks and their personality. The idol industry began in the 1960s and gained popularity in the 1970s and 80s due to television. The 80s were known as the golden age of idols. They were more commercialized, and they were appearing in TV commercials and TV dramas. So, as you can imagine, of course, a pretty teenage girl wants to be an idol. So, I'm going to start with the icky stuff now. So the night she was abducted, she was excited to go home and watch the final episode of a show called Tanbo, which means dragonfly in Japanese. Tanbo is the story of a young man who is a member of the Yakuza, which is like the Japanese mafia. And he's trapped in a world of violence while still trying to do the right thing. So he's got kind of a conundrum. He's got
an internal battle.
Yeah, there you go. Between right and wrong and what he's supposed to be doing.
He has an angel and a devil on his shoulder.
There you go. So anyway, it was only an 8-episode series and the finale was that night. And so she wanted to go home and watch it. So anyway, this was November 25th, 1988. And this is when she is abducted. Ultimately, there were 4 main boys who were responsible for the abduction and torture and what's going to be like horrible stories of rape. And I'm not even going to get into all of it because it's really bad. And I never heard of this case. And Daphne said, "Hey, Mom, we should do this case because I like true crime." She figured that I knew this case, and I didn't. I'd never heard of it before. And when I started reading it the whole time, I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because it's a lot. And it, like, it hurt my heart, and it hurt my brain, and it took me forever. I've been working on this for weeks, and it kind of burnt me out. I had to walk away from it a few times. So, yeah,
this was meant to be our first case, but it's taken us so long to research for it that we decided to publish it later and, you know, take our time doing the research with it and that we needed to do and do everything that we could possibly do to bring forth as much truth as we could to this case and reveal as much as we could to this case. And, yeah, it's really deep and it's really heavy. And on another sidebar note, Mom, I feel like you shouldn't say that you like true crime. I think you should say you're interested in true crime because that's disturbing.
Okay. Because I'm interested in true crime, and it's also hard to say. But, yeah. I'm not going to give a ton of – I'm going to give some details, but – they're out there if you want to find them. It's really, really, really terrible. It's really disturbing. So, anyway. Okay, go ahead, Daph. Take it.
Yeah, so about the perpetrators, their identities were actually not known in this case until a journalist uncovered their identities and reported on it. So, first we have 18-year-old Hiroshi Miyano. So, if you do end up looking this up, he's referred to as Boy A. He was born in April 1970, and he came from a well-off family. His family had a pretty high income, I'd say like middle upper class, doing well for themselves, but he came from an extremely dysfunctional family as well. His parents were always fighting, lots of drama within the household. And he started showing signs of aggression in his primary school years when he began stealing, bullying, and vandalizing properties, like including his school building. His father was even afraid of him at this point, which is terrifying to be afraid of a child.
Right. That's really, really scary and real foretelling.
Right. And then during his middle school years, he didn't actually cause much trouble. He became good at judo and devoted himself to leaving good records at this. And I had to look up what judo is. I knew it was some sort of martial arts, but it's considered an unarmed version of martial arts. And because of his judo skills, he was bullied by seniors when he moved on to high school. And because of the bullying he experienced, he ended up leaving the judo club 6 months into his high school career. And then in the next 6 months, he left high school. After leaving high school, he became a tiler. And he purchased a motorcycle and became a member of a motorcycle gang.
Okay, so a tiler.
Tiler.
He's laying tiles. He's not a tiler.
He's a tiler.
He lays tiles for a living.
Okay, yeah, so he's basically doing grout and laying tiles.
Yes.
so he was doing that job, making decent wages, having a good relationship with his boss at this time. And then he purchased a motorcycle, and he became a part of a motorcycle gang. And at this time in the motorcycle gang, he was arrested and placed on probation for causing bodily injury, unauthorized entry to buildings, and theft. And then he left the motorcycle gang eventually, and he continued to work as a person who lays tile and moved in with his long-term girlfriend, who was Boy D's sister. Couldn't find her name, but she was Boy D's sister. And then he also began saving money because he could really see himself marrying this girl. So he was saving up money, working really hard, trying to build his future with this girl. And then he eventually became bored at work. He thought his wages weren't enough. And so he stopped turning up for work in August of 1988. And at this time, he met a
Yakuza.
Yakuza. I always butcher that word. I cannot say that word. A Yakuza member. And then he started selling fake brands, working as a tekia, and then looking after a Yakuza
sure.
office. And what the tekia are, they're internet. I'm sorry, guys. I said this last time. I'll say this again. I'll say this every day. I don't English very well, so... We'll just pretend it's not my first language. Anyway, so the tekia, they're
itinerant
Japanese merchants who, along with the bakuto, which are gamblers, they were the original predecessors to the modern Yakuza.
I only know that because I watched the Hawaii Five-O with Alex McLaughlin, and they would say it all the time because the Yakuza was a big part of that show. And that's the only reason I know.
That makes
but they
sense.
Could have been saying it wrong.
Having them in Hawaii?
Yes.
Geographically, that makes sense.
Right. And on a side note, Alex O'Loughlin. Or McLaughlin. I don't know. Whatever his name is. The one that played...
See where I get my no English
Steve
skills
something.
From.
Something. Any Back on track.
So the Yakuza, they're a Japanese organized crime, which is similar to what we have here in the United States is the mafia or the mob. And they have conservative values, loyalty to their boss, which can result in poor treatment of another person. And they also are very strong nationalists. They're involved in trades, if you will, of illegal gambling and prostitution, and they like to control businesses. And around this time as well, when he became affiliated with the Yakuza, he began inhaling paint thinner.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good for the brain cells.
Right? Just kill them off.
Right.
A million at a time.
God, and could you even imagine your freaking sinuses? Ugh.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
It sounds awful.
I would not recommend that.
No.
Any of our listeners out there, don't do that.
Right.
That's disturbing for your brain.
Right. No sniffing paint thinner.
Right.
Just a public service announcement for you guys.
So one source said that he actually had a crush on Junko, which there was, you know, one source said this, but then another source said that they didn't know each other at all. And they lived in different cities, and he also had dropped out of school the year previously. So how could he have known her?
Yeah, I feel like I only read that in one place, and then every other source said that they didn't know each other. So I don't think that he...
I feel like it was worthy to include, though, because sure. I'd heard it a couple of times, actually. I saw it in a couple different places that they knew each other, and then other places that they didn't know each other.
Okay, well, that's fair.
So it's worth a mention.
And I wonder if people just re-report that they did know each other. Because, I mean, I read a lot of stuff that was, like, super dumb. Like, I even read one article where they had her name backwards. So they kept saying that her name was Farada Junko. And that really pissed me off. Because, like, hello, can you give some respect to the poor girl who went through all this horrible bullshit?
Yeah, definitely not a trustworthy source.
No.
That's for sure. And then Miyano, as a teenager, he started purse snatching, and then he graduated to kidnapping and raping young women at this point as well.
Solid.
Yeah, real decent human.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
It was like he finally started to do something good in his life when he was doing the judo practice, and then he's like, nah, I'm going to fuck that up.
Right.
I'm going to get bullied, so I'm not going to do that anymore. Right. I'm going to ruin my own life because people tell me that they don't like me doing this because I'm bigger and stronger than them.
Right, and making an honest living being someone who lays tiles.
A tiler.
Instead of someone who wants to rob and steal and make money from prostitution and stuff. He's just a total piece of crap.
Right. And then next we have Boy B, who is 17-year-old Joe Agura. And he was born in May of 1971. His parents separated when he was young, so he only lived with his mom and his older sister. And then he spent 2 months of his life with his dad when he was 10. He was an athlete, and he showed absolutely no signs of being a troubled kid. And then in January 1986, he was skiing, and he suffered a complex fracture in his right foot, which ended his career as an athlete. And, I couldn't even imagine, if that's your whole world, that's shut down for you.
Right.
But. Yeah.
That would suck for sure.
So this turned him into a lazy person, and then eventually he got expelled from high school in 1987. And he became an apprentice of an electrician, and he enrolled in night school, but he soon lost interest in doing night school, so he dropped out. And then in July 1988, he was placed on probation from driving a motorcycle without a license.
For driving a motorcycle without a license?
Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but okay. In light of everything else.
Right, in light of everything else.
Yeah. And especially when you guys hear what their sentences. Well, and what their sentences were at the end. And so for riding a motorcycle without a license or driving a motorcycle without a license, you're going to get probation. And just wait, again, till you hear what they did and then what their actual sentences were. Seems harsh. Okay, anyway.
Right. And then we have 16-year-old, again, going to butcher this, Nobuharu Minato, and he's Boy C. He was born in December 1972. Both his parents worked in the medical field, and he had an older brother who was his Irish twin, basically. He was born in January of 1972. And in primary school, he was a troublemaker, and that's when he began shoplifting. And then when he moved on to middle school, he became increasingly violent physically, verbally towards people. Solid, decent guy.
Right.
He started high school in April 1988, and his behavior only worsened. He stopped attending school in September, and he was violent at home and started keeping bad company around this time. Since summer of 1988, before he had dropped out of school, his older brother began bringing around gang members to their household, just local youth hoodlums, if you will.
Nice.
And his parents became helpless at this time as both of their sons were showing signs of major violence. And then he was also placed on probation for the exact same reason as Ogura, driving a motorcycle without a license.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, it's weird.
Right.
Yeah, just considering everything. Right. Seems like that's a
harsh punishment given.
In light of everything.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
And then Boy D is 17-year-old Yasushi Watanabe. For whatever reason, I can say that one just fine. Watanabe. Or it's Watanabe. But either way.
I say Watanabe, but I don't know. Which is right.
Yeah.
And honestly, because these guys are such pieces of shit, I really don't care if we butcher their name. Other than a surname for the Japanese, I feel bad. But personally for these guys, I don't feel bad.
Yeah, no, me neither. They're honestly dumb POSs. So
yeah, they're horrible.
Who cares? And so Boy D, Watanabe, he was born in December 1971. His parents separated when he was 4, and then they divorced 2 years later when he was 6. And soon after the divorce, his father was killed in a car accident. And then he was raised by his mother and his older sister, and that's tying it back to Miyano. That's Miyano's girlfriend later on.
Okay.
He enrolled in night school in 1986, and then he soon dropped out of school. And in October of 1986, he was placed under probation for domestic violence. And then in June 1987 and in March 1998, he was charged for minor criminal offenses. It didn't say what those criminal offenses were, but I can only guess that they're probably more domestic violence charges, right. Although those don't seem that minor to me. But right. In light of this entire case,
right.
I guess they are pretty minor.
For real.
And so the boys' affiliation is that they all went to the same middle school. Miyano was a grade older, followed by Ogura and Watanabe, and then the youngest was Minato. And Boy E is reportedly said to be Minato's older brother, even though they have different last names, and his name is Tetsuo Nakamura. So they were, again, the whole back to translation and conflicting reports. Some sources said that they were brothers. Some said that they had no relation at all. Or it didn't mention a relation anyway.
Right.
But we're going to go with that they're brothers, given what I have down the line to tell you.
Right. What ends up being in court documents probably corroborates the fact that they are brothers.
Right. So Ogura and Watanabe were in the same grade as Boy E, and that's Nakamura. And Minato and Nakamura's house was the hangout spot for all the gang members since summer of 1988, since their parents were always working. In October 1988, Nakamura's motorcycle was stolen, and at this time, Miyano started coming around a lot to help him find his motorcycle. And this was the time that the small gang began to form, and Miyano was the head of everyone. He was the one in charge. He was the guy.
He was the lead douchebag?
Yeah, the lead douchebag.
Okay.
And then in his absence, Ogura was the one in charge.
Okay. All right. Got you. Thanks for that, Daph, because I was struggling to find stuff about their younger life. So we're going to circle back to November 25th, 1988, which is the day that Junko was abducted. On this night, Hiroshi Miyano and Joe Ogura were wandering around Misato, that's the town, looking to rape and rob local women because they're freaking awesome
Yeah, great humans.
Yeah,
really,
for real.
Really great guys.
For real. That's what I do on a freaking Thursday or whatever the hell day this was, is walk around looking for people to rob and rape because, yeah, it's what we all do. Yeah. Right. Okay. So they saw Junko riding her bike home from work. Where, remember, she was super excited to go watch that show. Like a
convo.
Yeah, just like a freaking teenage girl who's all like, woohoo, yay. Because there's no DVR and stuff like that.
Like on Monday and Tuesday nights when I get home from school and I'm like, it's almost paradise.
Yeah, just like that. anyway, so they saw her riding her bike home from work. And Miyano told Minato to go kick Junko off her bike. And then he quote-unquote swooped in to save her. He told her that he saw the attack and he would walk her home so she could get home safe. He gained her trust to lure her into a false sense of safety, as a lot of perpetrators do. You know, they're like, oh my god, hey, I saw that, that's awful, let me help you out, that's terrible.
Yeah, I read an article, one of the reports said that he basically walked up to her and was like, oh my gosh, that guy is just the worst. I've seen him assault people before. Let me walk you home. Let me give you a ride home.
Right.
Yeah.
Stupid douchebag. So anyway, instead of walking her home, he took her to a warehouse where he raped her and then took her to a nearby hotel and raped her again and threatened to kill her. From the hotel, he called Minato and two other friends, Joe Ogura and Yasushi Watanabe, and bragged about the rape. Ogura, fucking solid dude here, asked Miyano to keep her so that they could allow other people to sexually assault her also. The group of boys had a history of gang rape and had recently kidnapped and raped another young woman who they then released. And unfortunately, Junko would not be so lucky. At 3 a.m., Miyano took Junko to a park where the three other boys were waiting. In her backpack, they found her home address, because remember, she's from school to work, so she's got her school stuff with her. And they threatened her by telling her if she attempted to escape, they would have her family killed by members of the Yakuza. They then overpowered her and took her to a house in the Ayase district of Adachi. Again, apologies. The house was owned by Minato's parents, and then they proceeded to gang rape her. Because, oh my God, these guys are just fucking nasty. Just grosses me out.
Yeah, they're disgusting.
Yeah, it's horrible. Like, it's terrible.
Like, what group of guys is like, yeah, let's bag the same chick?
Right.
Like, that's just gross.
Yeah, they're disgusting. And it's not even bagging the same chick. It's like, well, yeah, I'm going to sexually assault her, then you sexually assault her, then I'm going to sexually... It's just, ugh, it's disgusting. So anyway, again, the details of this case are so brutal that I'm just not going to go into full detail about everything that happened to her. But, so these monsters held her captive for 40 days. Can you imagine? That's 40 freaking days. Over right. a month. It's terrible. And they continually were torturing her and beating her and raping her. And she eventually succumbed to her injuries and she died. Let's see. So, I don't know if I said also that her family didn't report her missing for 3 days.
Right.
Which is also weird because if your kid is like a, not, I didn't say she was a straight A student, but it's, she's good in school. She's not a partier. She's not smoking. She's not drinking. She's going to school. She's working and she already has a job lined up for after she graduates. Like, why do you wait 3 days? And I could not find why anywhere.
Well, I also read, too, I don't know if you have this, if you're getting to this. Apologies if you do. But that they basically made her call her mom.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to get into that.
Yeah.
So the group forced her to call her mother on 3 different occasions and tell her that she had run away and that she was okay and she was staying with some friends. And they also forced her to stop the police investigation because I'm guessing what I deduced from the whole thing, like I said, Japanese translation into English from also the late 80s to now, the, you know, 2022, was that her mom said, you know, that the police were looking. And so then Junko was like, no, you don't be looking for me because I'm good. It's all good. I'm just here with my friends hanging out. I'm fine, which obviously she's not. And again, she thought her parents and brothers were, you know, going to be killed if she said anything different.
Right. How scary.
Yeah. It's,
you can't even like stand up for yourself in that moment because there's so much threat over your head.
Right. Like, and you're protecting your family.
Right.
Over your own self, which again, because she's a solid stand up young lady, a very good person.
Yeah.
So,
amazing human, though, taken way too soon.
Yeah, it's horrible. So, anyway, since they were keeping her at Minato's home, they forced her to pretend to be his girlfriend. But after it became clear that Minato's parents were not going to turn them in, they stopped pretending she was his girlfriend. And again, Minato's parents said that they were afraid of their son and his increasingly violent tendencies and were... he directed violence at his parents, and I'm sure he was just outwardly, like, aggressive and just a freaking horrible human being.
Honestly, who gives a fuck? If that was me, I feel like you guys would just immediately call the police.
Yeah, for sure.
And, like, most people I know, if that was their child, they're like, again, most people.
Right.
Would be, like, not having their kids back in that moment.
So, where am I at here? Find the notes. On the night of November 28th, so 3 days after they have her, Miyano had 2 other boys come over to Minato's house. And this is, again, like, I don't know why it says 2 other boys came over because that, Tetsuo Nakamura already lives there, right? Because that's boy E. So maybe he was just like, hey, come into this room. I don't know. And then this other kid, Koichi Aihara, who's known in court documents as Boy F.
Did they take her back to Miyano's house or Mitano's?
No, they're at Minato's.
Minato's.
Yeah, because Miano, yeah, it says that he had, because remember they hung out there because his parents, yeah, his was house the, was like the hangout. The
gang hangout area. Yeah,
exactly. For real. Disgusting. So anyway, they went into an upstairs room where Junko was being held, and according to them, she was wearing a long sleeve t-shirt and a skirt that Minato had stolen from a clothing store a few days prior, because of course he's freaking bragging about, oh, look at this great outfit she has on. I stole this because I'm a piece of crap.
Right.
So anyway, they proceeded to drink some cough syrup and act like they were high. And I don't know, maybe they were. Depends on the cough syrup, I guess. And Junko reportedly screamed and tried to run away. At that point, Miano grabbed her by the legs and Aihara put a pillow over her face. And then the group proceeded to, oh my God, wait for it, frickin' rape her again. Pieces of shit. So anyway, Minato's parents came to see what was going on after they heard Junko's screams. But they were shooed away and told it was nothing. And, of course, again, they're freaking afraid of their son. So they're like, okay, cool, whatever. Which is, ugh, disgusting, too. So according to statements by the boys, she was raped over 500 times by over 100 men and boys. Because, remember, they're into prostitution. So you got to imagine that they're, like, probably selling her.
They're pimping her out.
Yeah, exactly. And they have her so they can do whatever. And who knows if they're boasting or if it's legit, but either way, if you're bragging about it, you're still a piece of shit, even if it's not true. But just from the condition of everything and all the reports, I think it's probably fair to say that it's true or close to true.
Right, because the Yakuza,
mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, they were into prostitution. Like, that was, like, one of the trades, if you will.
Right.
That they're into. That they dominate that market.
Right.
And so, I mean, unfortunately, it's the sad reality that that market does exist and that market is out there. And I don't think it's very far-fetched to think that they have this girl in their possession. They're keeping this girl captive. They've abducted her. And that, yeah, they're pimping her out.
Right, and some people are sex workers by choice, and not critical of that. If, you know, if that's what you choose to do for a living, then that's what you choose to do for a living. But when people steal you and sell you...
When you're trafficked into it.
Yeah, when you're trafficked into it, that's a whole different ball of wax there. So anyway, reportedly, according to these guys, in one single day, she was raped by 12 men. They humiliated her because raping her and torturing her wasn't enough. So they humiliated her by shaving her pubic hair and forcing her to dance naked and masturbate in front of them. They left her outside overnight on a balcony upstairs with little clothing. And remember, again, it's freaking November, December, right? Because they have her for 40 days. They got her on November 25th. So, and it's freaking cold in Japan in the wintertime. Like, it's not a warm climate in the wintertime. So, they raped her, they sodomized her with foreign objects, including but not limited to lit matches, a metal rod, and a bottle. They burned her with lighters, cigarettes, and hot wax. And there's so many terrible things done to her that, again, I'm not going to go into all the gory details because when I was reading them, it was just, ugh, it was so disgusting and so sad. And, like, it made my heart break. It was, like, gut-wrenching to read it. And I've read some pretty sad and bad horrendous and things. Terrible things. Yeah, horrendous things. And this one, like, I'm telling you, every time I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ugh, that's horrible. I can't even keep reading this.
Yeah, this is, well, see, and that's why I thought you'd probably heard about this case, just because of the brutality in it and the fact that we're both interested in true crime and we listen to all the podcasts and do all that as well. Although I haven't ever heard of it on a podcast, though. I guess that's a different story. Like, I've seen it on TikTok and such, but not on a podcast.
Right. Yeah. I again had never heard of this case. They forced her to drink copious amounts of alcohol, milk, and water. They not only forced her to drink it, but they, like, poured it down her throat. So that way she was, you know, probably, like, drowning in it. They made her smoke multiple cigarettes at one time, and they made her also partake in the inhaling of paint bitter. It's like, ugh, what terrible freaking people.
Right.
One time, guys. Yeah. And one time, Miano reportedly burned Junko's arms and legs with lighter fluid. It's like, they're literally so sadistic, and they're just using this poor girl for, like, their entertainment. It's just, it's so disgusting.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. So, by the end of December, Junko was skin and bones from being malnourished. In the beginning of her capture, they fed her small amounts of food and milk, and by the end, they were only giving her milk. Because her injuries were so severe and her frail, thin body, excuse me, words are hard also for me. Her thin, frail body was covered with infected burns because, you know, they obviously didn't freaking do anything to take care of her. They're torturing the shit out of her and raping her. They're not going to like, oh, gosh, that's infected. Let me put some Neosporin on that. No, they, of course, aren't going to do that. So, nope. You know, she couldn't move. She couldn't hardly walk. She was just like skeletal and super weak. And obviously she's tortured. She's depressed. She's just a shell of this girl who she formerly was. And so at this point, she's no longer able to go downstairs to use the bathroom. And she was confined to the floor of Minato's bedroom. Junko's body and face were barely recognizable from the brutality of the attacks on her. Her body was literally crippled, and she smelled rotten due to the infection from untreated sores and burns. That's so freaking sad. It breaks my heart. I mean, you see a picture of this girl, too. Like, she's so cute.
Right. She's very beautiful.
Right? And she's just this cute, beautiful little, not little, but she's 17.
Like, right. She's just a she's little. She's a baby.
Yeah,
still.
She's a precious little baby. And it freaking breaks my heart. So, at this point, the boys lost interest in her sexually. Ugh, so fucking disgusting. And they went out and kidnapped and gang raped a 19-year-old woman who was on her way home from work, just like Junko had been. But again, they didn't keep this girl. So, I mean, it sucks that she got kidnapped and gang raped, but at least they let her go, which just.
Right. At least this didn't happen to two people.
Right. I hate these guys. I hate them. And hate's a super strong emotion, as you know.
Yeah.
But I feel like.
Well, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like there's not even room to hate them. I feel like you pity them. Like, they're so terrible of humans that it's like, did you get to be to this point? Like, how are you such a nasty, sadistic human that you are like this, that you don't have any regard for human life? Or human well-being, like people's feelings, people's, like, physical touch, people's, you know, like, if she would have lived through this experience, her whole life would have been fucked up and upside down because she probably would have had to have so much, like, corrective surgery as well. And right, just
therapy.
Therapy, like, the mental healing, the right. Physical healing.
Right. It's terrible. It's
That's why I say, like, I pity how bad of people they are.
Okay. Well, that's, I guess that's fair.
Hate them, but I have pity disdain, for them.
Like, full on disdain. Because I just, ugh. And especially, like, they have to have something wrong with their brains. Because if they're doing this when they're, like, young, I mean, not even the teenager part, but, like, the ones that they said, like, in elementary school and stuff, like Miano, it's like, if you're elementary aged kid is like violent and doing all kinds of bad stuff, like what's going on there, you know? The last day of Junko's life would be on January 4th after her 40 days of suffering at the hands of these monsters. Remember, her birthday is January 18th, so like she's getting ready to turn 18, and it's just so sad. So Miano had lost money playing a game of Mahjong the night before, and he was so upset about losing that he decided to take out his anger on Junko because, of course, she's their freaking punching bag. And he poured lighter fluid on her, and he set her on fire, which she tried to put out before passing out because, you know, she's, like, in pain, so you pass out from the pain. And also, she's super weak. like Bob said, she can't even go downstairs to use the bathroom anymore.
Right. She's so frail and so weak.
Yeah.
That, like, how could she even attempt to put this out without passing out beforehand?
Right. And her body's, like, her body's crippled, literally, from all the beatings and, you know, everything being left untreated. And obviously, also, she's got to be, like, septic because she's got all these untreated burns and wounds and stuff. So she smells rotten. Like, her body inside is also going to be rotten. And then, again, she's malnourished, so...
Right, she's just literally rotting.
Yeah, it's a whole bad, bad, bad picture. It just breaks my heart. I know I've said that a million times, but it's horrible.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't think you can say that enough times about how bad this case is.
Right. So, the boys beat her for what was reported to go on for hours. They were punching her and kicking her. And they were dropping an iron exercise ball on her stomach over and over again. And this would be too much for her to withstand in her already beaten, malnourished, and tortured body. So she had had enough and she succumbed to this final beating this day. And I don't know. I'm just like, it's just...
Yeah, I wish for her sake that she could have not been this long.
Right. Because I know there's a part of me that's like, it sucks that she...
It sucks that any of this happened to her, but
you don't want her to live for 40 days like that. Ugh.
Right, it sucks that any of this has happened to her, but I think it sucks more that it happened for 40 days.
Right.
That she had to sustain all of these injuries over the course of 40 days.
Right.
And just being tortured violently. Like,
and starved.
It's malnourished. Like, literally, like we said, like, her body's rotting.
Right. She's mentally beaten down. She's physically beaten down. Like, I can't even wrap my brain around what this poor girl went through, you know?
I can't
even wrap my brain around.
Yeah, I can't even take myself to that low place to imagine, like,
no,
going through any of this. Like, you know, the empath in me always wants to relate to people and feel their feelings. But in this case, it's like I can't even let my brain go there because it's so horrible. It's just so awful and so sad. And, I mean, at least, I don't know, at least it wasn't 80 days that she had to go through this.
Right. I guess there is that.
However. It just for the humanity part of it, I'm happy for her that it was sooner.
Yeah, agreed. And I thought that too when I was reading it, that I'm like, it sucks. And it sounds bad to say it, but it sucks that she didn't die sooner because, or that they didn't just freaking kill her like on the second or third or even the first day.
Right, put her out of her misery so she'd never have to experience any of these things and have like her final visions, like her final things that she saw with these people, with these four douchebags in her view. Like, those weren't the final things that she saw. The final words that she heard weren't these things. And
right. And also, why do they keep her? Like, because it said that they had done this kidnapping and raping on several occasions. So why?
Why her?
Why her? And why do they all of a sudden decide that they're going to do it to one person? Like, what's that motivation? And, of course, we're not going to get any of these answers. And it's just, yeah, it's heartbreaking. So, anyway, I'm going to get back to it. About 24 hours after her death, Minato's brother called him and told him that he thought that Junko was dead. And, of course, they already know she's dead because she died when they were beating the shit out of her. And he, not wanting to get caught and punished for her murder, the group wrapped her body in blankets and put her body into a travel bag. They then put her body into a 55-gallon drum and filled it with wet cement and eventually disposed of the drum with Junko in it into the drum of a cement truck. And I'm assuming that it had to be like an abandoned cement truck or something because I don't know. Because I don't know how you put a 55-gallon drum into a cement truck and nobody finds it like the next day or something, you know? And then it says, so what's recounted, court documents, their confessions and all of that. Miyano later told investigators that he put a videotape of the final episode of Tondo in the bag with Junko. And wait, listen to this.
Oh.
Get this. Okay, so this fucker Like, you're thinking, oh my God, for one second he has like some remorse or whatever. But no, I guess multiple times she had expressed to them that she was disappointed in missing the final episode, and probably she's trying to like make herself like sympathetic to them so that they'll let her go or whatever. So she's like trying to make herself human to these guys who are just not treating her like a human being. So anyway, he said that he didn't do it because he felt remorse or any kind of feeling bad or anything like that. But he didn't want Junko's ghost to come back and haunt him. Like,
oh,
he's a fucker. Such a fucker.
That's what you would be worried about in that moment.
Right? Yeah. He's just...
Oh, I didn't who do did it that? Was that Miano or
it was Miano. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the one who started the whole...
The ringleader.
Yeah, the ringleader. Boy A. Boy A, exactly. Okay. All right. Anyway, yeah, it just breaks my heart. Because, again, she had her whole
freaking life.
I hope
she does haunt him.
Right? I hope she at least haunts his dreams and stuff. Although, just wait for it, because, you know, wait for it. Yeah. So on January 23rd, Miano and Ogura were arrested for a gang rape of a 19-year-old, for the of the 19-year-old woman that they had kidnapped in December. So the one that they had went out and kidnapped and raped when they didn't want to have sex with Junko anymore because she would repulse them with her rotting flesh and starvation, and because, you know, they did this to this poor girl. So anyway, they got arrested for that, which is good that they got arrested for that, because otherwise, who knows, they probably would have gotten away with it. And not sure why they weren't questioned about it on this day, but it says that I guess they got let go after the arrest. Again, translation from Japanese to English, some of the parts are just hard to find. But it says, so this is on January 23rd, right? And she was killed on January 4th. So back in, so fast forward to March 28th, two officers went to interrogate them because when women's underwear had been found in both of their homes. And I don't know, again, where this comes into play.
Right, why their homes were searched.
Right, exactly. And maybe because it goes back to the rape again, or maybe they're just continuing to be total pieces of crap. And so the police are like, okay, we're going to check this out. So anyway, Miano, thinking that Ogura had confessed to Junko's murder, told the police where to find her body. And, excuse me, the officers were confused because they were actually talking about the murder of a different woman. So they're, I guess, interrogating them for murder. And so he's thinking, oh, crap, like they, like Joe Ogura spilled. And so I'm gonna at least tell them where to find her. So, but the police were actually talking about a different murder of a woman and her 7-year-old son that had happened mid-November before Junko was even taken. And this murder still remains unsolved. And police believed that they had nothing, these pieces of shit had nothing to do with the murder of the mother and son, because they confessed to Junko's murder. And so what do they have to lose by confessing to this too? Plus their frickin' street cred, because they're... It pisses me off because they're like brag about it later. But anyway, I'll go on with that. Because that again goes to the guilt, like how we're like, oh, he put that in there because he feels guilty. No, he freaking brags about it. Like he's just a piece of shit.
Not him, though. He's not the bragger.
Yeah, but he is a bragger.
He's not. He's not the bragger. Like, we'll get to that later on, but he's not the bragger.
Okay, well.
He's not the one that's the bragger. Miano is not the bragger. But no, I believe that they probably did not do the murder of the mom and son. Because like you said, like the street cred of it though as well. For at least the other guy that is the one who's basically proud of what he did.
Right.
That he would probably want to take credit for, you know, killing two more people. Right. Earlier than this.
Right, if they had actually done it.
Right.
So anyway, police found Junko's body the next day because, again, Miano had told them where to find her body. and she was identified by her fingerprints. And on April 1st, and this happens all super freaking quick here. So on April 1st, Ogura was arrested for yet another sexual assault. And then when they arrested him for that, then they rearrested him while he was in custody for Junko's murder. And following his arrest, Minato Watanabe and Minato's brother, that Nakamura, were also arrested. Several other accomplices were also identified, including Aihara, and again, Nakamura, because their DNA was found inside of her body. So they had raped her that close to her dying. And then because I guess they put her in cement, it preserved the DNA evidence, which is good. But I mean, ugh, like these guys are just disgusting.
Yeah, they're horrible pigs of dirtbag trash can humans.
Right, exactly. And if you'll recall too, Aihara was the one who was smothering Junko with a pillow when she had attempted to scream and escape in the very first couple of days of them having her. So, obviously they had repeatedly participated in the rape and torture of Junko if their DNA was found at the time her body was discovered. Presumably her body and the DNA had been preserved by the cement that they entombed her in. So I already said that, but
apparently
it's in my notes.
I mean,
so I'm reading it.
Yeah, I think it's good that if anything could come of it, at least they have the evidence in the DNA because they're the dumbasses that preserved it for the investigation.
And so this part, again, I feel like is kind of confusing because it says that they found her body like the end of March, so maybe March 29th or something. And then Junko's family got her back really quickly because her funeral was on April 2nd of 1989, which is good that they got her back so quickly because we all, you know, as we know in our country, if there's a crime, people don't get the body back that quickly. But since, you know, she'd been missing since November and she'd been dead since January, some kind of closure for her family at least, but
yeah,
still really disgusting. And then also, as Daphne had said earlier, in court documents, they were named as boy A, B, C, D, E, and F because they're juveniles, and so they don't publish their names. But then some journalists from a Japanese magazine found out who they were, and they published their identities. And they stated the reason that they did this was because of the horrible nature of the crime. They didn't deserve to remain unknown, which couldn't agree with any more than that. And they all four pled guilty to committing bodily injury that resulted in death instead of pleading guilty to murder because, I guess, you know, the intent to murder her wasn't there. They just raped and tortured her until she died. So it's potato, potato. It's really bad. But anyway, in July of 1990, Miyano was sentenced to 17 years, which he appealed, and when he did, he was not only denied, but also sentenced to another 3 years in prison. 20 years is the maximum sentence in Japan before they can get life in prison. And again, because they were quote-unquote juveniles, there's, you know, a law in Japan. But anyway, I'm going to circle back to that in a minute. Miyano was sentenced to 5 to 9 years in prison. Watanabe was sentenced to 5 to 7 years, and Ogura was sentenced to 8 years in a juvenile detention, which I don't understand because he's not the youngest one. But again, Japanese translation.
So he was the only one that was put in a juvenile detention, Ogura?
Maybe. Or maybe they all were, and it's just the way that it translates, it makes it look like Ogura is the only one.
Okay.
Because it would make more sense that they were all sentenced to juvenile detention, except for maybe Miyano, because he's 18 and they're giving him 20 years. So he's going to be 38 when he gets out.
Are they considered adults at 18 in Japan?
Nope, they are not, which is why they didn't get life in prison or, you know, the death penalty or anything like that, which I don't know if they have the death penalty. I didn't look into that, which I'm guessing they probably do have capital punishment in Japan.
Talking about the sentencing.
Yeah.
And how.
No, I was just saying that I was confused. In my notes, it actually says I'm confused why he's the one that got juvenile detention because he's not the youngest one. But now that I'm saying it out loud, maybe they all got juvenile detention. It's just lost somewhere in translation. But I believe that Minato, from what I have read, in any case, was probably the worst, besides Miyano, because he, you know.
Mitano? Or Minato?
Minato, I think, you know. Anyway, so, and unfortunately, they're covered by special provisions in Japanese law that apply to criminals 18 years and under. So, yeah, 18, you're still a juvenile. And the Japanese justice system focuses more on rehabilitation than on, you know, incarceration. So, but anyway, I feel like these guys are a lost cause.
Yeah, they're way past rehabilitation.
Right, exactly.
Dirty pieces of shit.
Exactly. So Miyano's mother was ordered to pay Junko's parents 50 million yen, which is about 400,000 in U.S. dollars, which obviously doesn't seem like nearly enough.
No, not and even close.
No amount of money is going to bring your child back, but...
Right, but at least for, I don't know, even purposes of covering a funeral, like, they should owe that.
Yeah,
and
the funeral's not $400,000.
You never know. She could have gotten a glitz and glam one like an idol would have.
Well, there is that. But, I mean, it's just no amount of money is going to bring your kid back, and I don't know how you decide that, but anyway.
Right, what is the value of her life?
Right.
More than that, for sure.
Right.
Worthless.
Exactly. So, and then this is really cool, too, just being facetious here. Minato's parents... or his brother were not charged in the crime, even though the majority of the heinous acts occurred in their home. Which is, I kind of feel like that's bullshit.
Yeah, that Boy E wasn't charged.
Yeah, Boy E was not charged. Just named in court documents. And that the parents weren't charged with anything because they knew it was freaking going down in their house. So it's total freaking bullshit. Anyway, I'm going to hand it back over to you, Daph, since you did the last little bit of research on where are they now, which we don't...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to tell. So we're going to start back up again with Boy A. So Miyano, he changed his last name to Yokoyama, which is much easier to pronounce.
Okay.
And he was released from prison in 2009. So, at this point in his life, from what is reported on, if you know who he is, no, you don't, he'll run away.
What?
If you know who he is, you don't anymore, because he'll run away. Okay. Like, he doesn't want to be faced with anything he's done. He's trying to run away from his past whenever it's brought back into the present. Like, if somebody's like, oh my gosh, you're Miyano that killed Junko. He's like, no, I'm not. Okay. And then just vanish into thin air, basically.
Okay. All right. You confused me with your verbiage, but now I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So I found a good chunk of information on Quora by a user called Jim Berg. So I'm going to be giving a lot of his information away in this podcast right now.
Okay.
So according to him, Miyano Yokoyama now. Was arrested for wire fraud in 2013, but he was released due to lack of sufficient evidence. They didn't have enough on him to actually charge him.
Right.
Or do anything with that.
So what's wire fraud?
From money.
Oh, okay. Stealing people's money.
Yeah, stealing people's money.
Right.
So, again, this is a translated text, and this is really confusing. Basically, this guy posted a picture of an article in Japanese, and it has his face, like, blurred out in the pictures, but you can see the guy's body. And this is supposed to be Miyano. You could see his body. The text is all in Japanese, right? So he translated this over. Mm-hmm. It's a back-and-forth conversation between a reporter and this guy, who I believe he was identified as M. He just called himself M.
Okay.
Who met Miyano, was friends with Miyano after the fact. They went to the same gym where Miyano would identify himself as K. So M knew Miyano as K, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they spent a bunch of time together. They were good friends. Like, all of this was happening, right? And then one day they went out together, and somebody was like, yo, that's that dirty piece of shit that killed Junko Furuta.
Mm.
And then his friend M confronted him about it. He's like, hey, K, are you really Miano? And he never heard from him again, never saw him again. He went to go knock on the door at his house, no answer.
So and, asked and answered.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we have on him now, is that, like, he seems to be embarrassed by what he did in the past. Like, good, you should be embarrassed, but you still did it, so.
Right.
You dirty, nasty piece of shit.
Right, and you shouldn't be
so out, you're going to have to live with yourself.
And make friends.
Right, you're going to have to live with yourself.
Right.
So next, boy B, Ogura, he changed his last name to Kamisaku. And in 2004, he kidnapped and beat a man for 4 hours and was bragging about how he had killed before, that he was so proud about his past actions and just how good he feels taking another person's life, which is just bullshit.
Yeah.
So he's the bragger. He's the one who just seems like, clearly at some point, Miano, even though he's still a dirty piece of shit, found a little bit of a conscience and, like, doesn't want to be affiliated with it because he's like, what the fuck did I do when I was 18?
Right.
Why was I such a nasty piece of shit when I was 18?
Right. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe he just doesn't want to deal with it in his own head.
Yeah.
So whether or not he acknowledges the fact that he's a dirty piece of shit, he might just not want to acknowledge it at all.
Well, yeah, but to some extent, like, he doesn't want to be affiliated with it anymore.
Right.
Which, understandable, if you were that dirty of a piece of shit, I wouldn't want people to know who I was either.
Right.
But that's, like, the Carla Homolka. When people meet her, they're like, yeah, just, she sucks.
Right.
Which we'll cover that one down the line.
Sure, of course we will.
Yeah, it's interesting, dirty, disgusting case as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's just supposedly just so proud of what he's done, Ogura. And it's alleged that his mother continues to vandalize Junko's grave and smears red paint everywhere because she blames Junko for what happened to her son, that her son's a piece of shit, that she blames everything on Junko and the jail time and everything that he's gone through in his life is blamed on Junko.
Yeah, victim blaming.
That's which is awesome, so dirty lady. And disgusting.
But again, it's alleged. We don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, and that's by Reddit user author _ Morgan with 2 N's, 1, 2, 3. Just want to plug the credit where it's due. And also, they have a picture of him on Reddit with a cigarette hanging from his nose about the time of the crimes, when the crimes took place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we get the Instagram up and running, we'll put that picture on there. It's dirty and gross.
Yeah.
Just showcases what a dirtbag he is. And then Minato, he changed his first name to Shinji. And again, from the Quora source, on August 19, 2018, he repeatedly beat a man on the shoulders with a baton because he stabbed the man in the neck because he was had some kind of tie to his girlfriend at the time. So jealousy and gross, and he got arrested for this.
Good.
Yeah, truly.
As he should have.
And he also complains about how it's basically the prison system's fault that he reoffended, because he blames the fact that there's no rehabilitation. It's their fault that he committed another crime. It's their fault that he's like this, the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
Which you would think, if the Japanese prison system was more focused on rehabilitation like their claims are, that he wouldn't have done this. But then again, he's a dirty, sadistic piece of shit, so no wonder.
Right. And in all fairness, it is the Japanese prison system's fault, because he shouldn't have fucking been out to do anything again. He should have just been locked up for the rest of his life, and hopefully somebody freaking rape and torture him every freaking day of his life while
right.
he's in prison.
We can only hope.
Right.
Also, I forgot to mention this during the part where I was talking about Ogura. He, for the crime where he was, where he beat that guy and bragged about killing Junko,
mm-hmm.
one report said that he was sentenced to 7 years for this beating, and another report said that he was sentenced to 4 years. So, worthwhile mentioning.
Right, and he's a repeat offender, so, again,
life
lock
in prison.
Him up, throw away the key, and let him get, I was going to say something really bad, let him get raped. I was going to say something nasty.
with a Droldo.
Yeah, that.
And then, again, according to the Quora user, one more time, Watanabe, he's just so flying under the radar. There was an article supposedly, and this is discussed in this post, that there was supposedly an article written about him that half of it was like, the report was basically about how he got caught up in the wrong circle and that he was a good kid until he met these people and blah, 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 blah. But then again, he was the one who was like 16 or 17 and arrested for domestic violence and then the other minor charges. So really not that good of a human in the first place, right?
Right.
But the article, I guess, it like tore people right down the middle of who read it. Some people were like, burn this guy at the stake, you know, like, let's kill him. Like, he's the worst. Whatever, you know?
Right.
And then there were the people who felt the pity for him. Like, this poor guy, like, he just got caught up in the wrong circles.
I hate that, though, because you're still...
He still actively participated. Well, he made the conscious effort to be a part of these people's lives and do this heinous act.
Right. You're a human being with your own free thought and free will, and you chose to participate in it instead of walking away.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't feel the slightest bit sorry for you, even if you quote-unquote were just caught up with the wrong crowd. But again, if he's been, you know, arrested for domestic violence and all of that, then yeah, obviously he's not the freaking choir boy they make him out to be.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. He's still a piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So at this point of his life, he's now referred to as a Hikikomori. Okay. Which is a Japanese phrase that refers to someone who is a homebody and basically a recluse in their parents' home, and they're unable to work or leave the house for months or years at a time. Ugh. That he's just totally a recluse now and, like, has no quality of life, which well, good. How it should be, like, how the rest of them are all like, being douchebags.
Right.
I mean, at least I guess it's good that he's not reoffending.
Right.
But by the same token, like, none of them deserve to, like, truly have a good, happy, fulfilled, sustained life.
Right. None of them deserve to be walking free.
Yeah, none of them. They all suck.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, this was a horrible case that we covered.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was really, 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 can't emphasize really enough, heart-wrenching.
Yeah, I think it's one of the worst ones that I've ever heard of.
It's for sure, like, top five.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I mean, I think all true crime is brutal and horrible, but I think I feel more sorry for the people who endure more torture for longer, mm-hmm. because it's like they still have to live through all of that. Like, of course, like, nobody wants their life to be taken, and, like, it's horrible to think about it any way, shape, or form.
Right.
But some people's suffering ends sooner.
Right.
And this just went on for so long.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there are definitely cases where people have been held for a lot longer. But I feel like the brutality that they suffered isn't what she suffered.
Yeah, this is horrible.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You guys can put it in the comments or whatever once we get this.
Instagram. Yeah. Argue about it on Instagram.
Yeah,
I mean, this is just our personal views, like, reflecting on the case, that it sucks that what happened to her, and it sucks how long she endured it. Like, that girl that got raped, like, she still got to walk away. Right. And it should have never happened to her, though, either.
No, and she probably, given what happened to Junko, probably feels lucky that she only got gang raped and kidnapped, but they let her go.
Right.
Sad to say.
It's horrible to say, but I mean, if that's the least of anything that's happened to you in the grand scheme of what happened to somebody else who had the same perpetrators,
right?
It's pretty lucky to get off that way.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
I think
that's controversial enough out of us.
Yeah, I think we're going to wrap it up because we've gone for a really, really long time, and we were definitely trying to not make it a two-parter because, you know, since our second episode, we're not going to do that yet. And we definitely cut it in enough time that we don't need to make it a two-parter. And we really...
Right. So if you want to know the the horrible details. Feel free to look them up on your own. We're not going to share them.
Right. They're horrible. I think horrible. We shared enough horrible details.
Yeah, they're getting even more grim than what we shared. But yeah, for sure. We shared enough. But anyway, thanks for tuning in again. Hopefully we gain some traction and get some subscribers. And we'll probably, by the time this is posted, hopefully have the Instagram actually running. This is in advance, obviously, that we're doing this. But yeah, we'll get everything worked out. And thanks, you guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of...